you and your spouse are one. So anything that you do to honor your spouse is good for you, the plural, right?
Yeah.
Both of you. Anything that they can do. Like you see the mutual way in which you either benefit or harm. It's impossible to benefit or harm your spouse without benefiting or harming yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think about, I love the Proverbs 12:4. You know, it says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones.
Mm. Yeah.
It's just like, you know, esteeming, honoring your wife, you know, she crowns you. You are together.
Yeah. For the people at home, we're talking about why you should be thankful for your spouse.
If you're just joining in.
If you're just joining us, because I just pushed the button. I love that proverb too, because it's just so true, right? I mean, have you ever met somebody and you're like, yeah, you know, they're so-so, but then you meet their spouse and you're like, you have a greater appreciation for them, right? You might be looking at them, who knows? But it is true, like a good, you know, a spouse or whatever, just raise your esteem of someone. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times you might think, instead of I'm thankful for my spouse, you think about all the ways my spouse should be thankful for me, right? So what causes that switch? She should be thankful for me.
The fall,
yeah.
And our selfish desires.
Mm-hmm.
The world can tell you that.
Uh-huh. Like when people think, or when you have friends who think that, right, wink, they should be thankful for me. What are the thoughts that are going through your head?
I know that many times when Carissa and I, sometimes when we get, I would say, forgetful about praising, sharing, speaking the good things about one another, sometimes we, it's hard work in your marriage, it's hard work raising your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so when your spouse does affirm, you know, you're doing a great job, you're a wonderful husband, you're a wonderful wife, like you forget, like, oh, that means so much to you. And so I could see how if you have a marriage where you go long periods of time with no affirmation, no thanks, no gratitude, that you can resent, like, you can resent that, like, I'm pouring myself into our marriage, and
I think
that affirmation is just, those words are important.
Yeah, I think one of the phrases that comes to my mind is when you feel underappreciated. And you can probably translate that into under-honored. I'm under-honored here. And and that can lead to, I think, some resentment, right? And, I mean, so what's wrong with that? I mean, how would you talk to somebody who's feeling under-honored, under-appreciated? How would you talk to yourself if you're feeling that way? I'm sure nobody's ever felt underappreciated. How would you counsel yourself in that kind of situation?
You might be showing a lot of self-pity to yourself and just being pitiful. And
I
think I would tell myself that you're not doing it for that honor or affirmation, that you're doing it for God. And whether those words come or not, that your duty is still to honor God in your thoughts and actions, and maybe have that conversation in a gentle way, but that doesn't mean that you're not appreciated or honored. It may just be that that person doesn't verbalize it in the way that, in words, they may be verbalizing it in their actions.
Yeah, I think, two good insights. Number one, you're doing it for the Lord. Number two, you might be appreciated, but not in the way that, you know, your love language or whatever. That's good. Other thoughts?
Another thing is what I'll do with myself is when I'm kind of going down a path, I shouldn't sit down and write all the blessings that I have.
Yeah.
And what, you know, those things that have come from God through whomever. And I will encourage my friends to do that too. If they're on the road to a pity party, I'll, you know, just say, I'm going to encourage you to just take a sheet of paper right now and just write down all the things that you have to be thankful for, as opposed to focusing on things that are in bitterment causing.
Yeah. Because self-pity, and I'm glad you used that word, Noah, is often rooted in self-entitlement. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Self-pity, it's still about you in some way. And so I think kind of doing what you say, Darla, as far as turning on that and just writing down all the things to be thankful for.
Well, and it comes from a place of, like, I deserve honor and praise and I'm not getting it.
Yeah.
So I'm upset about it. Well, then when you take a step back and think, what do I actually deserve? Well, then anything I'm getting is way better than hell.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I can be thankful even for the things that aren't, that I may have been frustrated about before, because that's way better than spending eternity apart from the Lord.
Yeah, and I think that's a very, we kind of alluded to that in question five. I mean, when we talk about blessings and riches, like in Ephesians chapter one, I mean, what are those blessings and riches? Right? It's eternity with Christ. It's a spiritual inheritance that we have. Yeah, so a lot of times it's because you're losing perspective. Yeah, other ways you might self-counsel in that situation?
Well, I mean, sometimes there just needs to be a conversation with the spouse. Maybe it's a pity party, and maybe it's that your spouse is actually not honoring you. Mm-hmm. Because it's not, have a sense of honor in your heart. It's show her honor in 1 Peter 3. And that's a command given to the strong one in society, right? You men, your wives are nothing in this society, but you are to show them honor because of Christ, because they are just as worthy as you in the eyes of Christ, and he died for them as you. And that is still true, that whoever is the strong one in the relationship often forgets to show honor to the one who is socially weaker or physically weaker or whatever it is. And so sometimes there just needs to be a conversation that maybe you truly before the Lord honor me in your heart, but you're to show honor. Mm-hmm. You're to show honor before our children. You're to show honor before society, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I never hear you speaking these words. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you don't tell them, it's not like somebody else who looks into your marriage and can talk to whoever that person is. Yeah, so sometimes it might be a conversation. And if the person says, oh, well, I do honor you, then it's not really an indictment. It's like, okay, well, I need to work on showing it if the heart's there, right? The heart's there, it's just a matter of, oh, you want this. You don't necessarily want gifts, you want word. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Well, in their defense, sometimes they don't even realize it. You know, in our spouse's defense, you're like, am I doing that? I didn't know that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and you want to make sure you have that conversation in a very honoring way. You know, giving the benefit of the doubt. You know, this is how I'm perceiving it. Help me if I'm wrong. So, but what does it say about a person if she or he can't give thanks for their spouse? What does it say? And I've done this before where I'm going to give you 60 seconds and I want you to tell me five things that you really appreciate or admire about your spouse. Go. Well, she's made in God's image. She loves the kids. She helps the house look nice. She spends money, lots of money, but you know, sometimes spends it well. So what's that showing? Yeah, as a counselor, I'm hearing that. What am I seeing?
Bitterness,
right? So I kind of have like this bitterness test. And it's not scientific or anything, but it's just like, in 60 seconds, can you pop off 5 things you really appreciate and admire about your spouse? And if a person can't do that, what does that show about how he routinely thinks of his or her spouse?
Well, on like the flip side, if you ask them, what are 5 things that really frustrate you about your spouse? I guarantee you they could pop it off in 5 seconds. I mean, they would already have their list ready because they spend the majority of their time upset and, brooding on all the things that their spouse does wrong.
Yeah.
But if you're honoring, you may be like, same response, like, well, maybe hard for you to come up with a bunch of things if you're constantly used to focusing on all the ways that you
it'd be hard to think about what frustrates.
It'd be hard to come up with
yes.
5 things that, I'm just thankful to have, like.
So I think what that kind of shows is, what's swimming in their brain? When they're thinking about their spouse, what adjectives are swimming in their brain? Is it, disposition of thankfulness towards them or frustration towards them? Right? What do they choose? And the thing is, what swims in your brain doesn't, we're not passive in that. We put those things in there. We coddle those things. We feed those things. And so a lot of times the frustration, it's the result of a choice, right? Mm-hmm. You see how that kind of makes a difference? And, ultimately, you could talk to your spouse about showing honor or whatever, and you might just find that it kind of goes back to where it was before. You know what I'm saying? And your hope can't be in your spouse really changing, right? And even if they don't change, this still is a command to honor. And it would be nice if you magically honor them, and they in turn start honoring you, and you just kind of have this wonderful relationship, and you write a book about it and speak at a marriage conference about the secret to a happy marriage, right? But sometimes it just kind of goes back to the mean, it regresses to the mean. And so what do you do in that situation? And those are the situations where it's very difficult to, what am I going to dwell on? And what am I going to think about? How am I going to speak about him or her? So
I think one thing too is that you have to have an agreement of what honor is. Because if one person has, they think honor is this, but you think honor is that, then you're looking at honor maybe in different ways. So that would be kind of the first thing you would have to. Because I know Marlon and I had different ideas of honor at one point in our marriage. We don't anymore, but we did. And so then that will cause conflict if you have different ideas of what honor is.
Yeah, and I think that's a very important thing. It's like, he's showing me, maybe it's not the way I want it, but the point of showing honor is ultimately to be obedient to the Lord, right? And so if your husband or your wife is showing honor in, even if it's her way, but you can kind of discern that this is her way of honoring the Lord by doing that, then I think there's something to be said for that. And that's where we get into some of the, like the love languages. Love is only spoken in this language to me. Right, and so if you have a couple that's bilingual, right, isn't it possible for, maybe I'm going to learn your love language and learn to interpret the love language as love instead of demanding that you only speak this love language to me. Does that make sense? So this person made a nice woodcut for me. How sweet, right? Yeah, that's what shows. He spent a lot of time, not what I wanted, but it was an expression of love. So that's why talking about it is good, but that's why don't get locked into only this way. Learn the other love language too, because the point is that they're honoring the Lord. Honoring you. Okay? Any final thoughts on this one before we move on? Yeah?
Is it inherently sinful to feel under honored or not?
I think it's dangerous. I don't think it's inherently sinful to recognize. Like, it would be like, if you're really in a marriage where your husband does not love you, you know, he has no feelings for you, you know what I'm saying? Like, there is a place to, I think, recognize that that's just reality. And in that type of marriage, he will not honor you. Now, with that, there is a temptation towards self-pity. Does that make sense? And to want to avenge yourself and to do, you know, kind of respond in an ungodly way. And that's just a sad, and it's a sad, tragic state. But if that's just, you have this loveless marriage where he doesn't love you back, I mean, what would the Lord call you to do? And I would imagine that, you know, in these times, like let's say you're married to an unbeliever, which you're not, thank God, but if you were, I mean, that, you know, what does the scripture call you to do is to love your enemies, right? You know, to not avenge yourself, to turn the other cheek. And so, yeah, does that make sense? So, I mean, you got to reckon with reality. It is what it is. He's not honoring me. He is not appreciating me.
Yeah, there might be different languages of honor, but we all understand dishonor.
Yeah.
Like, we all know what it is to be the butt of your husband's joke, mm-hmm. and to be ridiculed by him and mocked. And mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes, though, like, the counseling switches from how can this marriage be good to just how do you honor the Lord alone mm-hmm. in a marriage? Mm-hmm. And those are two different kinds of,
yeah,
even self-counseling situations. From, like, how do we together honor the Lord to just how do I honor the Lord since he won't?
Yeah. Yeah, and that does happen. So, any other questions? Good question, by the way, Leah. I appreciate that. See, I'm going to honor you, right? Feel the love here, man. This is awesome. Okay. Okay, then I think another one is to remember the effects of the fall. Okay? So this is one situation. You can flip it. Okay? So on his way home from work, Mike can barely contain his excitement. Sheila has already ship the kids off to grandma's house tonight. Tonight he and his wife will go to their favorite restaurant, watch a romantic movie at home, and then who knows? But when he walks through the door, rather than meeting him with a kiss, Sheila is lying on the couch massaging her temples. She is utterly exhausted and has a headache. Or you can flip it where Sheila is all excited about this night together, and then Mike calls her from work and says, you know what, there is an emergency and I need to stay tonight because the stability of the company is at stake. You know, whatever we do tonight will decide the future of the company, okay? So either of those situations, so keep it in mind depending on your perspective, right? Now, how might Mike be tempted to respond to this and why? What would Mike be tempted to do?
You might have some ungodly anger
mm-hmm.
because of unexpected, like things, expectations not being met of what he had envisioned or
yeah.
she.
Uh-huh. This was going to be a nice romantic evening. And you got a headache.
How dare you.
How dare you, right? So he starts asking questions, like, well, what did you eat today? Right? Take a nap, do him saying so. There'll be a temptation for Mike to blame Sheila for the headache in some way, right? You should have known about this from the plans.
It's another conveniently timed headache.
Uh-huh. Another conveniently timed headache, yeah.
Just toss her some ibuprofen, she'll be fine.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, how else might he be tempted? How would Sheila be tempted to respond to Mike when he says, it's an emergency, I have to stay? Go ahead, Darla, you were gonna say something.
Oh, she could say something like, well, you know, the company always comes before us and
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. those types of things, making him feel guilty. But in reality, he's still the head of the household, and it is his job to take care of his family.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I could, yeah.
I mean, yeah, company before me. Okay, again, get passive-aggressive, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or just aggressive.
Aggressive. yeah, yeah.
Or so, like, instead of taking care of the spouse who isn't feeling good, like, he might be tempted, sorry, going back to the original situation, mm-hmm. he might be tempted to be like, okay, well, I'm just going to, you know, indulge myself. I'm going to have this snack, or, you know, like, I'm going to do this thing that makes me feel good and forget about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So why would it be important to remember the effects of the fall before reacting?
Because it's important to recognize sin in yourself, and mm-hmm. if you're feeling frustrated and bitter because of a headache or an emergency situation, then mm-hmm. you need to recognize that and not mm-hmm. respond with that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, let's put yourself in Sheila's situation. How is Sheila feeling about this?
Where her husband's at work?
No, when she's home with a headache.
She's not feeling good about it. Mm-hmm. She's probably not. She wanted to have dinner and a movie and not be laying on the bed on the couch with a headache.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you think Mike is feeling about it when he's caught up at work?
Guilty.
Yeah, they both probably feel guilty, whoever's letting the other one down.
Mm-hmm.
Disappointment,
yeah.
I think, for both sides.
Yeah.
Like, neither one of them's happy with the situation.
Yeah.
And it's, mm-hmm. I think important for them to realize it's not me against you, it's us against, you know, this situation. It's Sheila and Mike, let's figure out how to get rid of your headache and mm-hmm. let's help you. And, you know, lay on the couch and I'll bring you whatever you need. And mm-hmm. maybe we can watch our movie from the couch or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or Sheila
yeah.
can say, hey, I'll run through the drive-thru and I'll get you guys all dinner. What do you want? I'll bring it to you. And so
mm-hmm.
coming to a solution together instead of
yeah.
being Mike against Sheila.
Yeah. Can you say something? Not approvingly. Yeah, and I think that's just it. It's like, you know, the fall, we're all sinners and sufferers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not Mike's fault. It's not Sheila's fault. You know, this is just the fruit of the fall. Yeah, and maybe something happened at work where, you know, a customer went back on their word, you know, saying about breaking off a deal. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is a result of sin
yeah.
in some way.
I think one thing that's helpful for us has been to sometimes when the night goes as planned, you know, everything's great, but it's not as deep, you know, in the sense that it doesn't, like in these cases, oftentimes with the fix of fall, God reveals things about your marriage, about you or your spouse when you're disappointed, when, you know, and some, it can go bad or it can go well, where it gives you an opportunity to show understanding, compassion, and just remembering that, not just that it's not your fault, but that God, you know, is in control of all things and
mm-hmm.
is using them to reveal to you and to refine you. And so this may be another opportunity to show
yeah.
times where I've learned, oh, you know, I've got this idol of, you know, this,
mm-hmm.
or I'm, you know, I need to grow in my understanding, or, you know,
yeah.
revealing something good in my spouse. Look at the way that she was
yeah.
supportive. So
yeah, and I think one thing, like with Mike, hey, this is a real opportunity for you. Because you look at how most men would react, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this is a chance for me to really show you honor when it counts, when it doesn't benefit me at all.
Mm-hmm.
And to show the degree to which I love you and want to honor you. Do you know what I'm saying? So there can be a thing like, instead of seeing this as poor me, I think one, you understand that the other person can't help it, but this is a chance to surprise them with grace. Right? To surprise the other party with grace, to surprise the other person with honor, and to basically say, I don't want you feeling guilty, I sure appreciate, like, I mean, how could Sheila show honor to Mike when he's caught up at work? I like the idea of, hey, let me just bring dinner to you. What might be some other things? Like, what would be, if you're Mike on the phone and you're just telling Sheila that, what would you want to hear?
You could just let him know that we can do this another time, or like you could even make dinner at home and wait up for him, and when he comes home, you have a nice dinner because the kids mm-hmm. aren't there. So yeah. you do things to prepare for when he does come home, and mm-hmm. you make it all good.
Yeah.
You make it positive instead of negative.
Yeah. There's some other things.
Is there anything I can do to help? Like at
yeah.
work, you know, a mindless job that I can go do for
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even just like, hey, your company is blessed to have you.
Yeah.
You know?
So you look at, and you look at the situation from Mike's perspective. He is about to, he has to do something to try to save the company, right? You know, to save his job and the jobs of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the woman, you know, Sheila just says, you love the company more than me, right? How will that impact Mike's ability to solve all these problems?
He's distracted.
Just distracted, right? But if he has the full assurance that you do what you need to do, I'm 100% behind you, we can do this another time, but this company needs you, then that actually frees up his brain to really kind of deal with this issue, right? So if you were to, you know, you look at, let's say, Sheila, who's on the couch, and she is feeling the headache, and if, you know, the husband says, great, another headache, okay, what is that going to do to Sheila's present situation?
Going to make the headache worse.
Make the headache worse. So now she not only has like physical discomfort, she has this emotional discomfort and guilt. Right? So now her experience is even worse.
And anger on top of that.
And the anger on top of that, which probably, yeah, anger or sadness, whichever way, you know, you kind of break in that situation. Right? So what would Sheila want to hear? Like, what could Mike do? So that the only problem Sheila has to deal with is the headache, right?
You need a pillow, do you need medicine?
Yeah.
Hey, the point of this night is to be with you. We can still be together, the kids are gone. I'll
take
care of you. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. You know, so do you see what I'm saying? Like, so when you really honor someone, you want to make sure that they're taken care of, you're looking at their needs. And so a situation like this, one, it's easier to remember that it's not them, it's the fall, right? The problem is not them, it's the fall. It's these external circumstances. They would change it if they could. And so you want to help them through that by loving them. Okay, any more questions about that? Well, let's kind of go through some of these thought questions on page 9. How would you respond to the argument, a marriage where both parties honor each other seems to undo God's design for the husband to lead his wife? Lauren, you immediately did not like that, but I mean, it's been said, right?
Well, how can you say it when the Lord, you know, we're specifically told in the Bible, in his word, that husbands are to honor, you know, show honor to your wife as the weaker vessel, so you can't really undo God's design if his design is for men to honor their wives.
Yeah.
He never explicitly commands lead, but he does explicitly command honor.
Mm-hmm. Does a subordinate relationship mean that you forego honor? And think of other maybe examples in the Bible where the subordinate
Jesus.
Party is, yeah, Jesus. Right. I even think about, you know, Esther, right? You know, where the king honors Mordecai. Yeah, there's the idea of God and Jesus honoring us, right, and showing us honor, and the way Jesus showed honor to us, all that. So yeah, I mean, authority has nothing to do with honor. Subordinate position has nothing to do with honor. You can honor. We're called to honor all people, regardless of where they are in the social hierarchy.
Well, and a husband honoring his wife actually makes it easier for him to lead his wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So why do many husbands and wives struggle to give honor to their spouses? Why is that a struggle?
Middle letter in sin.
Was that?
The middle letter in sin.
Middle letter in sin. I like that. I. For those of you who can't spell it. Yeah, I had it. It's not as old.
Yes. Good.
I get the middle letter in sin. Okay. What else?
Over time, you just start to take each other for granted.
Mm-hmm. Start to take each other for granted. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It might also be what they've seen modeled in their lives, so how their parents treated the parents of the spouses treated each other, mm-hmm. You know, what they've seen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think bitterness is one thing, or a fear that if I show them too much honor, they'll be, like if you look at your spouse as a project, see what I'm saying, where you're trying to move them in a certain direction and you want to improve them, you might think that, well, if I show them too much honor, they're gonna be content where they are, and we all don't want that. Does that make sense? I mean, that would be one noble reason. How about this? Why are many husbands and wives embarrassed by their spouses? Scott, you had.
I was like, it's hard for me to imagine. Being embarrassed. I don't know.
Maybe. Have you ever seen it though?
Yeah.
Yeah, why are they embarrassed?
Their faults are amplified to the spouse, you know, like if you feel like they're amplified to everybody else around you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, why else? Are people, spouses embarrassed by the other?
Probably because individuals are concerned about what other people think about them or their spouse. And so if that spouse is not living up to maybe an expectation that you have of them,
yeah,
or something like that, it's a reflection of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so then as the other spouse, they're going to try to justify, you know. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that either. But
yeah.
I have a really good spouse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was very blessed with
mm-hmm.
a spouse that I wouldn't be embarrassed of.
Yeah. This is kind of what I've seen is when spouses start being embarrassed by the other, like I can't bring him to a party or bring her to a party or whatever, they begin to really live separate lives.
Mm-hmm.
And in this realm, they have professional esteem, they have all this other stuff, and they bring their wife along, they lose their status in this world, or vice versa. Does that make sense? And so for them, getting honor from other people, or even just general fear of man, when their spouse lessens their esteem, they're embarrassed by them. And so instead of really honoring the spouse, they tend to kind of hide their spouse, or try to keep their spouse away from certain social contacts. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. That's where I've seen it, is mostly in people who either they're social climbers
mm-hmm.
and their spouse is not going to help them climb,
yeah,
or they just have a tremendous fear of man and like their goal in life is to blend in
mm-hmm.
and my spouse does not help me blend in.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, like they cut that off.
Mm-hmm.
Keep them away, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say to somebody who's embarrassed by their spouse?
spouse to other people, mm-hmm. and like seeing the best in other people but not in their spouse. Like, mm-hmm. Can you just be like that person? Mm-hmm. And neglecting other attributes.
Yeah, could be. You say to somebody that they're embarrassed by their spouse. And some of it might be, it is loving to help somebody be a little bit more socially refined. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's probably a place to say.
I've benefited from don't wear all the same color from
each other. Yeah. Try to ask other people questions in a conversation, right? You know, just. Some of those things can be helpful.
Helpful.
Yeah, and so I think there's a place for that. Fundamentally, what do you tell someone who's just kind of embarrassed by their spouse?
Lack of love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a lack of love, right?
I mean, it shows you where your highest love is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fear of man and getting other people to affirm you. And, you know, and if, the thing is, if you're ashamed of your spouse in public, they'll feel it. And the other people will see it. And when you see somebody who's truly embarrassed by their spouse, what do you think of that person?
They're small person.
They're a pretty small person. But if you see somebody who just really loves their spouse and is not embarrassed by them, I mean, it makes you look at the spouse in a non-embarrassing way, right? Mm-hmm. And makes you look at the other person. So it is, you know, a foolish woman tears down her own house, right? By being bearers and pointing out all those faults, you're not really doing anything to help. So I think we kind of answered D, but any practical ways to show honor? I mean, what are the keys? If you're with like a newlywed couple, the basics, like if you want to show honor, you do these couple of things, and you're going to be on the right track.
Put the other person before yourself.
Okay.
Always.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you mentioned it in a sermon or in the Sunday school, but just saying thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you for doing this. That can go a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, try to say thank you as often as possible mm-hmm. for very specific things.
Yes.
Flip side would be don't complain. Mm-hmm. Say thank you, don't complain.
Yeah. Other thoughts?
Seek ways to help the other person. Not just saying thank you for doing the dishes, but seek ways to maybe do the dishes next time. You know, things like that are very honoring.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledging their presence, you know, you say hi when they come home, greet them, say good morning in the morning, touch their arm as you walk by them in the hall. I mean, just those little things are like, they're just way more important than you'd think. The bad marriages have stopped doing that. Because it's just a way of constantly, I'm aware of you, I'm happy to see you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bedtime and I still want to touch you, you know. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think how you talk to them and how you talk about them. Like, what kind of opinion of your spouse do your friends have?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's often, you know, if your friends respect your spouse, that probably says something about how you've talked about them,
mm-hmm.
right? If your friends don't respect your spouse and think, man, how can you live with that kind of person?
Or your kids.
For your kids,
your
right?
Friends, but how do your kids treat
your spouse? So that's often a good, and that'd be a good thing to remember too. If you think my husband doesn't respect me or my wife doesn't respect me, but if you notice that all their friends respect you, yeah, that I think that's something to kind of put in the respect me category. And then I think how you talk to them. You might sometimes just taking an extra second or two to compose your thoughts to come across as honoring as possible. Could be good. So we'll kind of camp out on this final point. After going through this lesson, Kathy resolves to begin showing her husband honor. She does, and he loves it. However, he has not made the same commitment to show her honor. Frustrated by his lack of response, she comes to you for counsel. What do you tell her? And we kind of talked about this, but it's a refresher. What would be some of the key things for her to keep in mind?
If she's doing this for his benefit, mm-hmm. or is she doing this to garner his favor to her?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a difference.
Yeah.
Is she really honoring him if she's upset because he's not returning it?
Yeah.
Vice versa.
Yeah.
I think too, and there's something to be said that, you know, given enough time, it's hard to really go forever without responding. Like, loving, honoring.
Yeah.
I just think about my kids, and some of them respond really well to the loving instruction and that uh-huh. type of thing. And some it takes a long, long time.
Yeah.
And it may be that it's just going to take a long time. Some may respond longer. And although that's not the ultimate thing, don't discount. Well, he's never going to honor you. Like, mm-hmm. keep, very rarely. I mean, it's amazing the power of love.
If he never does.
Correct.
The right thing to do is still to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you're giving honor to get honor reciprocated, that's not honor, that's manipulation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think the Lord's going to honor her. Mm-hmm. And he will honor her. I mean, there is something very, very honorable about a woman who shows honor to a man who never responds. And while the husband may not give her honor, I think the Lord will, and the Lord's people will. Does that make sense? And hold her in very high esteem because she's persevering through a very difficult circumstance. And so I think that would be the hope I would give her. Sometimes these are just opportunities to show the supernatural work of the Lord in your life. To show that you are different. That you are changed. And there's a special joy in that. So conclusion, the God glorifying marriage requires two people who refuse to glorify themselves. Those who generously heap honor upon others actually worship God with their efforts. They demonstrate that they truly believe the teaching of our Lord, it is more blessed to give than to receive. But what is the blessing? As Brian Chappell says in his book, Each for the Other, husbands require the support and influence of wives. The more capable the wife, the stronger, more appropriate will be her aid. The man who understands this divine design for his own development delights to build up the woman who makes him more able to be what God wants. He recognizes that the regard he gives his wife defines and develops him. Real men respect women. And in the same way, the stronger husbands will lead to stronger women. God's economy is not a zero-sum game. The more we give, the more we get. Humbly giving honor to your spouse not only strengthens your spouse, but strengthens you as well. They may not reciprocate the honor, but God will. In the words of James 4:6, he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Well, let me pray, then I'll let you guys go. Well, Father, I pray that you will help us to show honor to everyone, especially our spouses. And even this week, in the midst of some of the Christmas chaos, that we will actively look for opportunities to show deference and respect and express our honor to our spouses. Pray for this next phase of our worship service, Lord, that as we sing Christmas hymns and listen to a Christmas message, that our hearts will just be elevated with the joy of anticipation of not only Christmas Day, but what it means. In Christ's name, amen.